You're listening to Fakeologist Radio, where we talk about the biggest hoax of our time, 9/11, and all the psyops and hoaxes before and after September 11th, 2001. You can call us at 518-564-0491 or Skype contact Fakeologist. We stream 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. The show normally broadcasts at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time, but we may live broadcast any evening time as guests become available. Now, here's your host, Aberrato.
Well, hello, everybody. It is Saturday, March 13th, 2016. I haven't done a broadcast in a while, so I thought I'd pick it up again. I'm just listening to the intro like the rest of you guys, and obviously some of the links have changed in the last little bit as I've changed the blog around. So, like everything else, I got to change the introduction around. Instead of a prefix for those links, you got to go to the top of fakeologist.com and just click on the links. For instance, radio archives and radio and chat and all those other links are all at the top of fakeologist.com. And if you want to listen to the live streams, they're all on the right side of the blog where they always have been. And you'll have to click on them that way. There's no direct shortcuts with the prefix. In other words, if you want to go to the radio archives, it's just fakeologist.com/radio archives, fakeologist.com/stream/radio. I just moved the link to that side. Now we do have the chat is fakeologist.com/chat, or just click the links at the top of the page. And the reason I've done that is because I have some sub-blogs now that required a little bit of changing around of the site architecture. For instance, Morab, I've just moved it to morab.fakeologist.com. And I also have a save chat at savechat.fakeologist.com. Now, those are sort of sub-blogs. And what happens is if you're registered at fakeologist.com as a username, then if you go to those blogs, your username will work there as well. That was the main purpose of that, is just to avoid a million logins. People hate logging in, I realize that. And actually, if you want to comment at fakeologist.com, you don't have to create a registration. You can just keep typing in your name and your email address and make your comment. But it's preferable if you create a login if you want to go to the forums. In other words, fakeologist.com/forums and start a post. And you still need a login if you want to start a chat at savechat.fakeologist.com. And because I have so many different venues for you to put your input into, I got rid of the anonymous chat that was based in Chatango. Now, I still have one chat left at fakeologist.com/chat. That's Chatango-based, and that's still there as well. So there's millions of ways to connect at fakeologist.com. Hopefully you'll take advantage of them. And of course, we also have the audio chat, which has been really quiet lately. That's at fakeologist.com/audio chat. And you can go there, and as long as I know who you are and you're a verified person, after I've verified your voice, you can also start an audio chat. And that streams as well. And the link to the fakeologist stream number 3 is on the right side of fakeologist.com. And there's also a very long URL link, which I don't have off the top of my head, and you wouldn't be expected to remember it either. But just find the link on fakeologist.com on the right side, or fakeologist.com stream. Oh, poof, that's boring, isn't it? I know all these technical things. Again, the site has been pretty always taking it in different directions, and it's more of a hobby of mine, just to play around with the different software to make blogs and to make posts and to make streams. It's really just a labor of love. There's certainly no way you can make a living off it, and I wouldn't expect anyone really to donate either. Although I do have the donate buttons on the right side I put up. the other day. If anyone really wants to, I have Donate Buttons for Clues Forum, which I am a supporter of. And the other place is Hoax Busters Call, which I do listen to regularly every week. And sometimes their donate buttons are hard to find, so I just put them on my site and make it easy for people if they wanted to support some of the sites I support. Now, also, if you shop at Amazon, I have my own links for Amazon, for Canada, the United States. I haven't set anything up for the UK yet, and I probably should, because the second highest group that comes to the blog is from the UK, more so than even Canada. Even though this isn't really a Canadian-centric blog, per se, since all the PSYOPs are worldwide, I should probably set up a button for UK. So tonight, I'm going to... I reached out to an old-time guest who I still enjoy reading from time to time when he sends the odd email my way. His name is OBF, and I'm going to bring him on the call now because he's been waiting patiently as we got our connections. So I'll welcome OBF, if he can unmute his mic and say hi to the listenership. OBF?
Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear. Good. You could just lean into your mic a bit more, that'd be good.
All right.
Wherever it is, wherever the mic is, near the top of your screen or whatever computer you're using.
Yeah. Okay. That's about as close as I can get right now.
Well, that's
any better?
That's pretty good. So how you been, OBF?
Well, it's great to talk with you again, Ab, and thank you for asking me to come on your show. I've been doing well, surviving in the world.
Yeah.
Surviving in the zombie world out there.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I've been doing well. I've been doing well. I've been keeping up with the blog, of course, and trying to keep a post or two up every day. I still listen to hours and hours of audio every day. How about yourself? Yeah. Do you listen to audios of the different people?
Not as much, no. I sort of died. I was listening to a while for the Fetzer ones, but I don't know what happened to him. He sort of went off on a tangent, on a JFK, a permanent JFK tangent. And so I really haven't listened. I watch videos, I mean, and that's video and audio, but I haven't really discovered any audio. In fact, I had a problem. You were talking about logging into your site and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
With your site. And I know I tried to join at one point, and the only thing I succeeded in doing was put in comments in the when you had a particular radio show. I succeeded in being able to stick comments in there, but there was something I couldn't get into the chat forums or something. So I gave up, basically.
I know. I know it's difficult, and I know people don't spend too much time trying to log into sites. That's just something that happens everywhere at all websites, I find, and that's why Facebook and Google are so successful, because they try and make it super simple. And
yeah.
They've been fairly successful at it. But I'm looking here. You do have a login at One Born Free. That's the name of your login, One Born Free. And if you just type that, if you go to fakeologist.com/login and type in your username and then type forget password, it'll email your password and just your login, your email that you used is a Gmail account. I won't give away the actual.
Okay.
So you're using your Gmail account there, and
right.
You could log in if you wanted to. That would be just fine.
That gives me access to the whole site, or
yes.
I have to get other people's permission or something.
No. That'll give you access to the whole site. So just log in.
Okay.
And you can log in that way, and then if you can't, the chat is a separate. Is a separate platform called ChatTango. It's a separate platform. It has nothing to do with the website, per se,
okay.
Other than... So you would have to get a login for ChatTango as well. So I know it is a little bit of a pain. It's complicated. People don't like to think about logins, but... I haven't listened to Fetzer either too much. I agree. He's gone off on a tangent. And so really, there isn't a lot of 9/11 material out there. The only people that are talking about 9/11 recently are the Flat Earth crew that has overwhelmed the internet for the last year. I don't know if I've talked to you in the last year. I
No, it's been at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years since we
last
talked.
So you and I are still on the same page a year and a half or so later on 9/11. And there's really no one to talk to about it outside our tiny little circle. And there's no one else talking about it either.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons that I said I'd do this show, because I'm in the same situation here. I haven't talked to anybody who remotely agrees with anything I say for 2 years since I last talked with you online.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It's wild. In fact, I started on September the 11th of last year. I put a post titled 9/11 was an inside job on this forum that I use a lot. It's supposedly a bunch of libertarian anarchists who aren't really. They're more like the Stefan Molyneux person. You know, they believe the official story, most of them. So I did this just to put it on there as a record, and I stated exactly what I believed. And I said, I'm making these assertions. I'm not going to argue with you if you don't believe. Just assertions for the record, just so that you know that this is what I think, and I'm putting it out there. And I say I had a couple of interesting replies to my posts in that thread there. It's called Liberty HQ. But nobody, all of those, not one person there. The best I've got is a couple of other people have said, yeah, it was an inside job, but they're still on the Ace Baker, Morgan Reynolds, Judy Wood bandwagon.
Yeah, there's no one talking about it. And I haven't, again, been listening to too many 9/11 specific audios. Now, I did post one audio on fakeologist.com by a guy named Visigoth. I think his name is...
Oh, I've seen that name. Yeah, I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, I think his name is Keith Hansen. And he has been talking about 9/11 and the Nazis and the power structure for a long time, a lot longer than you and I have.
Okay.
And he just recently did an audio that I posted. And the title on fakeologist.com is called Viz's 9/11. And I haven't listened to a 9/11-centric podcast for a long time now. And, of course, he's way far away from our conclusions on 9/11. He was promoting her on the broadcast with someone who has a website called Tuesday Morning in September. And that person is admittedly an actor. He tells everyone he's an actor. And he allegedly filmed the whole thing on 9/11 from, I think, New Jersey, and decided only release the film 10 years later or 9 years later.
Is that the one that Simon had on September Clues? He's someone with photographs of the tower collapsing, some guy in the harbor.
Well, I don't know. This guy videoed it. He said he videoed it, and he's selling a DVD on Tuesday morning in September. And it looks like
that Jim. What's his name? Is it Jim?
I think it is.
Oh, that's been around. Oh God, yeah. Simon's done a whole thing on him, and I ran into one of his supporters who believed it was all real because she bought the video. Therefore, it must be genuine. That was her logic. It was just and she just called nasty, nasty person. Ugh.
Yeah, Jim. Somebody. I'm just trying to find his name on the website here. I don't even see it here. Jim Cozier. Jim Cozier. Maybe that's him.
No, that might be a different one. I'd have to see if I can find something to jog my memory. If not, it's another Jim. It sounds like the same deal. This was from New Jersey, and you could see Flight 175 flying into the South Tower on it. Is that in the video?
I think so, yeah.
I think it was a bit of a longer name than that. It was sort of almost Italian sounding.
I don't know. But the point is, though, that if people are not familiar with the whole media fakery aspect of 9/11, then it's almost too much to get into it and talk about it at this point, because it's quite honestly, as you promote, it's a completely fictitious. All the video is fictitious, and any discussion of real video is just really more discussion of fake video or fabricated video done in a studio. There's no doubt in my mind. So any discussion of the vagaries or the peculiarities of the video, we're just discussing a movie as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not interested.
Yeah. Well, I'll discuss it to a degree with people. As I say, I've done this this thread on this this forum, and the reason I did it was, like I said, it was just a statement of record, but it's also useful for me to clarify my thoughts. And I don't know if you've been going through the same sort of experience, but looking back, it's now obvious to me that I could have done a lot less research than I ended up doing. It's like there's several facts about 9/11, or what we call as facts about 9/11, mm-hmm. which on their own, just taken by themselves, I should have said, that's it. It's got to be. It's all bullshit. The whole story is complete bullshit. And mm-hmm. But because my mind, and I suspect in most people's minds, didn't work the same way, didn't work on that now obvious logic. You have to keep finding other facts that are other inconsistencies and downright contradictions within the 9/11 story, or within the videos themselves. You have to keep, it's like you're always searching for more to prove your case to yourself.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed with it, and I still am. I've been trying to back off a little bit because I've become so obsessed with it. And the good thing I was noticing, I was looking at my own blog site prior to talking with you here, and my number of posts have gone down considerably, which some ways is bad, but in other ways is good. It's like
I'm looking at your blog. It's called One Born Freeze, FREES, 9/11 Research Review, big name, .blogspot.com. And it says here you've done only one post in 2016, six in 2015, 12 in 2014, 25 in 2013, and nine in 2012. You came on the scene pretty much when I came on the scene in 2012, so we're kindred spirits in that sense.
Yeah.
But I can assure you none of us, we didn't come on the scene at the same time because we work for the same company or on someone's payroll. Not at all. That's pretty much.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's going to say that, but that's inevitable. You know, this stuff, you know, it's all a conspiracy. I'm working for I'm supposed to be working for? The ADL. I'm supposed to be a lawyer, according to Don Fox.
Oh, right. Yeah, well.
It just never ends, you know.
Yeah, well, they don't pay very well because you're using a borrowed computer on a borrowed line on a borrowed this.
So, exactly.
On borrowed time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, it almost seems like the research has. I've only heard about 9/11 through the flat Earth commentary, and again, they've taken the internet by storm, YouTube by storm, and they seem, for the most part, stuck on Judy Wood, in a way, it's been a renaissance for Judy Wood this year because her name keeps coming. Yeah, she just keeps coming up because everyone is on board. A lot of people are on board with the idea that it's an inside job, that there's problems with the official story. But everyone is hooked on the collapse footage as being real. It seems like one of the last things that people just don't accept as being fabricated.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to draw the conclusions from the fabricated footage, and that's where Judy Wood comes in nicely because she helps explain basically Hollywood special effects.
Yeah,
there's no other explanation for it.
Yeah, once they're working on that false assumption that the collapsed footage is genuine, then they've only got two choices. They've got the nuke or the mini nuke theory, and then they've got the Judy Wood theory. Those are the only two paths they've got that I'm aware of that they can go down.
Yeah.
So they're locked into that, and I've found in talking with these people is that because they've spent so much time looking at it and considering it, once they've gone down that path, they're very reluctant to have it pointed out that the footage that they're scrutinizing is fake footage, and they don't want to go down there. They've got too much invested in it, and mm-hmm. so they just react very negatively to any sort of suggestion to along those lines. So it's interesting that happens. I mean, I'm interested in the psychological, the way that people react psychologically to the whole event, really, or the series of events, and how they process the information they're given. And
yes, I am too. I am too. You know, I'm interested in the psychology of the whole thing too. That's my other favorite topic when people are discussing this. I love the psychological ideas about movie stars, about singers. I just love the way that they can make people follow them. I'm enjoying the Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm enjoying it from the fact how people just are so desperate to follow somebody.
Yeah.
And it does, and even if that includes following the person right over a cliff, they'll just follow. They're just so desperate for a messiah figure. Everyone wants someone to take care of them and just deal with all their problems and just one solution. It's fascinating. So the psychological aspects of why people believe what they believe, including 9/11, is just, to me, is the most interesting part of the whole story.
Yeah, well, we are unusual in that respect. I mean, I believe that you're in the same boat as I and Simon. We all believed the story originally. We didn't examine it. We just said, okay, there was these attacks on 9/11. And so, but we had the common sense, or Simon more than anybody, obviously, but to retract that and go back and re-examine what we thought we knew about it. But a lot of people, once they're going down that road, they're not going to turn around and go back. And my experience watching people around me on every day, I'm in the southeastern United States, and it's just like those zombie movies. I mean, these people...
Well, you could be anywhere in the world. You get the same reaction. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in Cambodia.
Yeah, probably true. Yeah, it's that... although I think that for someone looking into the United States and an event such as 9/11 from outside, and this is what I think was one of Simon's advantages, was that he was an outsider. Mm-hmm. It allowed him to look at this from a distance, which was not afforded people inside the United States. We couldn't quite separate ourselves culturally from the whole thing and psychologically from the whole thing. Mm-hmm. In order to reach the same sort of conclusions that he was able to get to.
I wasn't predisposed for any conclusion when I was doing my research. I just wanted the one that made the most sense, and Occam's razor, the conclusion that requires the fewest number of assumptions, how I've done it. And
yeah, well, what I meant by that was, before that, when the day after the event, you didn't, did you?
I never thought about it.
I thought it was something slightly fishy about it, but I was pretty much on board with the official story.
Oh, me too. Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, that was my point. But you know, most people are not gonna, once they're, it's been and done and it's over with, and they are not going to go back and even look at it with they are not able to look at it with an unbiased opinion that allows new information in, is what I believe. They don't know how to switch off what they think they know and re-review something like this or any of these events. Once they've been told the official story, that's it. On to the next football game or the next burger or whatever.
I agree. And they don't even look at the smaller psyops that follow over the years.
Right.
It's obviously, I think it's calmed down a little bit over the last month or two with the shootings, at least in the United States. We're not having one a week at this time. But Yeah,
the last one I looked at was the Bernardino thing. The other thing you've got to remember, of course, is that once you've been through the whole September Clues, Simon Shank conclusions, you've got to those same conclusions, then you are basically you're biased when you look at any of these things. You're going to be looking at them with a much keener eye than most people will look at them. You're already thinking that there's a great possibility that, for example, the Paris attacks or San Bernardino are fake. You're already biased that way to think,
yeah,
if they're doing 9/11, then, you know, these other things, there's no way in hell that I'm going to believe this unless I've got a really good reason to believe that one of these events is genuine. Mm-hmm. But most people don't have that pre-bias. They're starting from the position that what they read in the papers or see on the TV or on the internet is true. So they never get to that point of critically looking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. And if people do wish to study the most studied PSYOP, I think, on the internet right now, which is probably 9/11 for now and maybe JFK, then it will allow them to see the small PSYOPs for what they are much more easily. Because, of course, 9/11 is the template. Because it's so big, it required so much work to create the illusion. There's just a lot of work. There's the drills. There's the movie that they put on the television. There's the cooperation of the media. The media is the central figure in this whole thing. It's not George Bush. It's the media. And I would assume that all the media figures that were called the witnesses, all the anchors, they had to know that they were definitely reporting on a fake event, because there's no way. I would say most of the preparation would have been done weeks and months or years in advance to create the so-called live broadcasts on that day. That was definitely, and you know, people just don't get it still to this day. And I just listened to a guest that I had on called Calcified Lies, who I think has a great name, Calcified Lies.
That's a pretty good name. Yeah.
He just did a YouTube that he just posted this week. And he pretty much, I thought I can't remember the interview now because it was a while ago, but I thought he was pretty much on board with media fakery. And he pretty much, in his YouTube video that I posted on fakeologist.com under the title Shack Attack, he pretty much second-guessed himself completely on the video, on the footage. And he was saying it was quite possibly or probably real, and then they might have used some insertion of the planes, and he was recanting, I thought, on just about all the 9/11 research, calling Simon controlled opposition, and it was really disappointing, actually, that now if he's a genuine person and he's regressing at this point, then that's really surprising. I haven't regressed. You haven't regressed. I don't think we've found anything in our research in the last year or two that's given us any cause to do so.
Right. I've regressed in every other part of my life, probably, but not on 9/11.
So I'm really... I'm disappointed in Calcified Lies, but go ahead.
Yeah. What you were saying about the planning and everything for 9/11?
Yeah.
One thing that occurred to me recently... see if this makes any sense to you, Ab.
All right.
We have 2001, we have 9/11.
Right.
1969, we had the Apollo moon landings.
Sure.
Okay. Now, what is that? That's a 16, that's 30, that's a 40-year gap. I cannot believe that they had the balls to go ahead and just do 9/11 mm-hmm. cold on that, on September the 11th.
Yeah.
With all of that 40-year gap, they had to be doing the similar thing on maybe a smaller scale as the live broadcast prior to 9/11. I cannot see that they just do that. If they did, the nerve.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's well accepted in the numerology community that it was 33 years. From 1968 to 2001, it was actually 33 years.
Okay, excuse me. Yeah.
From,
I think maths is way off.
Yeah, I think from the turning of the Earth at the World Trade Center site to the destruction was 33 years or so. Because I think the buildings came online in the early 70s. But yeah, well, there were events actually, and the biggest event that I remember and was sitting in my office back when the internet was in its infancy, or at least the World Wide Web, where you had graphical pages, was Oklahoma, and that was in 1995.
I believe so. Yeah, so that's the first one I got into.
That was a biggie. That was a big one for its day, and I think it's quite clear in review that was definitely a simulation in the exact same way as 9/11. It was a drill. It had a villain. It had not complete destruction of the Edward or the Murrah building, partial destruction. It had 168 victims. It had children, a daycare. It had pretty much all the elements of 9/11, and in conclusion, when they redid the building and then redid the memorial, similar occult buildings and pools and whatnot were set up in the same way as 9/11. So it was a bit of a dry run, I think, for 9/11, or certainly gave them courage to carry it out.
Yeah, but it wasn't live on TV. I guess that's my main point.
Well, I think the aftermath was. So, for instance, it occurred, and within an hour, everything was on TV. I think so. We didn't see the building destruction live on television. Let's correct that. We didn't see the footage portrayed as real. Just because they have the word L-I-V-E, which is evil backwards, on the screen doesn't make it live.
Right.
Let's be clear. If all you have to do is put the word live on the television screen and that convinces people that it's live, then that's, again, another sorry state in people's believability or gullibility.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And really, that's just about all the proof that they gave to us that it was live. By saying you're watching now, it's live, these are live shots, helicopter shots, live on the scene. We agree, at least between the two of us, that was all pre-recorded stuff. And Calcified Lies asked the question, why wouldn't they do it live? And I'll tell you why they wouldn't do it live. And if I've heard enough interviews or followed enough Hollywood stories about how difficult it is to do a scene in a movie, how long it takes to do one scene in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible, the standing around time to shoot a scene in a movie.
One day. They can take one day or 2 days. I've been on those sets. I've seen them doing it. Yeah, so absolutely, yeah.
And yeah,
just for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, and if someone is not well or someone's change their clothing or there's something off about the whole thing, they have to assemble the whole gang of people again. Very frustrating, I would think, to do. In other words, if you want to create the perfect impression, which is what a movie is, it requires hundreds of hours for every minute in the movie of preparation. Yeah. To get it right. So you would never rely on the day of to do it live and hope you got it right, because the odds would be astronomical that you would get it wrong. Right? You're just not going to get everything in the right place, especially trying to aim a plane at a building and it's never been done before, if that's what the illusion you're trying to create. If you were going to do that live with a real plane, it would be impossible to get the timing, to get everything set properly.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've analyzed the minutes between certain events on the 9/11 movie, and they all line up perfectly with occult numerology. Again, you could never do that live. You can only get the timings and timings to the minute right with movie making technology, where you're just taking scenes and cutting and pasting them at the exact time. And that takes a lot of editing skills.
Oh, absolutely. And still, I mean, in retrospect, obviously, it's obviously, if you look at it closely and you know what to look for, then it does look fake. But it was, at the time, it was good enough to fool most of us.
Well, none of us were looking for it. We're not looking for fakery.
Yeah.
Now that we're all looking for fakery, it's much harder for them to fake it, I would think. Much harder. We're looking for every imperfection.
I don't know. I might have to disagree with you. I think these people are very confident, and and I think they're proven right. I think the people who pulled off 9/11, I have to hand it to them. They really did a number on the America. I mean, and they knew they could do it, and they knew they could get away with it. And I think that they still feel that they can. Even they could probably do it again with just as crappy software that they did to simulate the 9/11 events. I mean, and still nobody would bat an eyelid. I'm that sort of cynical about it.
Yeah, I agree. That's because most people are not paying attention at all to anything.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're just a tiny, tiny minority.
Well, yes.
That has seen through this. I like to call it the Matrix. You've seen through it, and once you've seen through it, you can't go back again.
No.
But everybody else, it's reality to them, and I don't see that other people are going to ever see through it, or not.
But it's because they don't want to see through it. They don't care about it.
They don't care about it, and I think in the back of their minds, they think that it would be subconsciously it registers as a threat to their understanding of reality. So they sort of subconsciously they're going to steer clear of the whole idea.
People. But I think the overwhelming reason is they just aren't interested. They don't think it will affect. They don't think it affects them.
Yeah. And they might be right. I don't know.
Maybe we're wasting our time dissecting these things. Maybe we're spending too much time at it.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. With me, I went back and I did this whole blog post on the plane speeds. And the official plane speed of Flight 175 is apparently 595 miles an hour. Which is completely physically impossible for the plane to move that fast at 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
So then I did an analysis of the Fox 5 footage, and it shows that the plane is traveling its own length in 6 frames.
Yeah.
Which means it's going at 540 miles an hour, which is a little bit less than the official speed of 595, but 500 miles an hour is completely impossible for the plane to travel at that altitude, which means basically if you've got a video showing a plane moving at 500 plus miles an hour, the video must be fake. You know, end of story. But no, that was still not enough for me initially. It's only in retrospect I can look back now and say that and say, well, you know, OBF, you wasted a hell of a lot of time going over this and over it and getting obsessed with it when there's a few facts there sticking right out like a sore thumb that should have had you dismissing every official part of the official story of 9/11 from the get-go as soon as you found out about the plane speed issue. But I didn't. I had to go on and look for more reasons that say the Fox 5 footage is fake, which, you know, obviously that Simon's work on that and various other researchers work on it. But it's amazing how I just kept going with it, you know, going and going and going. And now it's like it's old hat almost. It's like we've proved it to ourselves anyway. It's just a question of the fact that nobody else really cares or just thinks we're nuts. So, So where does that leave you? I mean, you've still got to carry on in this world.
You do. You still have to make a living and eat, and you have to keep processing future media that's sent your way down the conveyor belt, and it's easiest just to ignore it, but every now and then someone around you gets bothered by it, or you get almost involved in it like I have been over the last month, where we had a little event at our local school, and that really was hard to process, in the sense that just on the ground, when you're pretty much involved in what I thought was a drill anyway, you just can't get information, even if you're right there. It's fantastic when you think about how difficult information is to get when the people that control the information don't want to give it to you.
Yeah.
Even if they're right next door. It's really amazing. And I'm talking about something on a small scale, but the point is just officialdom, when they want to hold something tight to their vest, they will do so, and you will never be able to get the information. So you are literally just in the dark if you're 1 or 2 feet away from something. Even if it's on your own street, you could be kept off your own street where you live to keep the official story from getting to you. So when you see it on a micro scale, you can easily extrapolate it to a macro scale like 9/11, and see how it's so easy to control information on the live scene. And of course, it's just absolute child's play to control it on the media stage, because that's even easier. These are the professionals that are already trained to shape your every thought, and they've been doing it forever. So they're very highly trained.
Corporations in the United States, it's six corporations control the entire media, is my understanding.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Maybe it's less.
So it's
and it's shrinking, I think. The concentration of power is just getting greater.
Mm-hmm.
As these old medias die off, as they lose eyeballs and therefore ad revenue, the new ones are even more suspicious that pop up, that also struggle to monetize what they're doing. Therefore, they must have some kind of backer to keep going.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, as I do? I just basically don't believe anything on the TV or the radio or in the newspapers, and very little on the internet. Are you in the same boat?
Always, yeah, I have been since this investigation, yeah. Everything is presumed fake until proven real for me. It's really hard to verify anything. Yeah. It's really, really difficult. Yeah, I flipped the whole paradigm on its head. And yeah, for sure. I'm talking about local stories. I'm not as consumed. I don't get consumed by the San Bernardinos and the various shootings all around the U.S. because there's just too many. I follow local stuff because at least I know some of the streets and some of the venues.
Okay.
And I can identify more with them. And I doubt there's anyone else in my city, which I live in the biggest city in Canada, that's even looking at these stories this way. So I have no one to talk to on the local stories at all, for sure.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't have too many people to talk to about 9/11. I can count them on one or two hands, and you're one of them. Sure. It's crazy. Sure. In this whole
we're
world,
all in that same, you know, the September clues is sort of the people who understand it are scattered throughout the world, but they're probably all in exactly the same boat as you and I. You cannot find anywhere locally to talk about even 9/11, let alone you going on about investigating local issues. But even 9/11, the only place you're going to find is a little place like this, or if you join Simon's website.
Cluesforum.info for anyone who doesn't know.
If you want to feel at home with more or less at home with people who think along similar lines, then that's where you have to go. You're not going to find, the chances of you finding anybody in real life who thinks along those lines are very, very slim, it seems to me.
Let me take a quick break and let anyone who wants to call in. I will take calls for OBF if anyone wants to call in. I'll play a little station identification here so people can call in and talk to OBF. Cause
do I need to mute?
No, you can just listen. It'll only be a second here.
You're in the middle of Fakeologist Radio. You can call in at 518-564-0491 or connect with us at Fakeologist on Skype. Join our chat at chat.fakeologist.com. To leave a comment on the show, go to the episode page and leave your reply or link. The show airs live most Saturday nights around 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply call in and tell us your story. Now, on with the show.
Yeah, and that number again is 518-564-0491. 518-564-0491. My Skype handle is Fakeologist, F-A-K-E-O-L-O-G-I-S-T. Just add me, and I will accept you as a contact. And you can talk to OBF if you're listening live on the stream. The links to the live stream. I have three streams, 1, 2, and 3. They're all on fakeologist.com on the right side or fakeologist.com/stream. And talking with OBF, who has a blog that's called One Born Freeze 9/11 Research Review.blogspot.com. And actually, on the blog, you have your latest post is Saturday, January 23rd, 2016. It's entitled Fake Zapruder 63 versus Fake Fox 5 2001. And maybe you could go into that. What's your analysis, first of all? Can you give an overall analysis of JFK? What's your position on that media event?
Well, I really don't know. It's either... either it never happened or it actually happened and then the Zapruder film was just edited to hide the fact that the Secret Service limousine came to a complete halt before the shots were fired. I'm not really sure. Either way could be true. I mean, you just don't know.
What's your suspicion, though? I mean, you don't know, but what is your best guess at this point?
Well, because... the Secret Service was driving the car, and because the Secret Service are the people who apparently took possession of the Zapruder film, and then it wasn't released till years later, then I'm assuming that the event actually happened. It was an actual real murder done in Dallas, and obviously the government is so deeply involved in it because they not only withheld the film, but then they obviously have altered it. And so that particular post, I came across an analysis of the Zapruder film that I hadn't seen before. And as I say in the post, I don't consider myself to be a JFK expert freak or anything like that, but I've seen a few analyses of the Zapruder footage, and they all mostly concentrate on the movements of the people in the car and the headshot and the movement of JFK's body back and forth or whatever. This video analysis is different. It shows the layering. It exposes the fact that the background is out of sync with the foreground. And so the viewers, the onlookers of the JFK limo as it passes are not actually looking at the limo or looking or waving at him as he goes by. And that's because they've split the video has been split horizontally, and the background is now out of sync with the foreground. And it was something that I had sort of been aware of subconsciously for a long time, but I'd never really paid attention to. Well, this video analysis of it shows quite clearly how there is a layering in the a horizontal layering in the JFK Zapruder footage, and I can't explain all the details of it now. It's a short video. It's well worth seeing if you haven't seen it. But then that ties in with 9/11 because in Simon's analysis of the Fox 5 footage, it's called Nosed Out, he shows, this time they're vertical layers. He shows there's a vertical layer as the plane image contacts the side of WTC-2, you can see an overlap in his analysis. And then when the same with the nose inexplicably exits WTC-2, it runs into its own layer, which is approximately halfway between the two tower images. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just basically saying, look, both of these videos have layering in them, and so the layering was clearly doable in 1963. You have the government withholding this movie all this time to fiddle around with it and add these layers to hide what actually happened on that day in 1963. So, I mean, you could draw a more radical conclusion. You could say the whole thing never happened. It was fake, just like 9/11. I'm not there.
That's where I am.
You are. Okay.
Oh, that's there's really no doubt that, well, that the Zapruder film, there's no reason to believe that there was any Zapruder at that location taking any footage at all. There's no, okay. I think the whole Zapruder film.
Way behind the curve on that whole.
Yeah.
Issue.
Well, it makes more sense because, again, why would you edit a film? Why wouldn't you just create it from scratch? They had about 7 years between the time the event allegedly occurred and the time that the film, the Zapruder film, was released. So that's 7 years to play around with whatever technology they have to create this so-called eyewitness account. I think it's no more real than the Hazarkhani film of the 175 going into the South Tower.
It's not real live footage that's subsequently been altered.
Why bother? No, I think they just created it from scratch and they put all the little anomalies in for people to go spend 50 odd years trying to figure out why and how. And no, I don't think they even killed the guy. Why bother? I don't think any of the Kennedys have been killed.
Right.
I'm convinced now. On a global basis, this is how my mind works, that any leader that looks like he's for the people, okay, now Trump is the latest incarnation of to come down the pipe on a global basis, that he looks like he's for the people. He's trying to help the people. They want change. They want a bigger slice of the pie. And what happens is, if these leaders get in at all, I think in most cases, they simulate exiting from the stage, their extermination, their killing. And this is a global thing. I think it happened to Gaddafi when all of a sudden he went, allegedly, and I don't know this because I didn't live in Libya, but he took them from the poorest nation to the most wealthy per capita nation, where he basically was sharing the oil revenue. And then he wanted to go a little farther and extract himself from the petrodollar, the United States dollar, and value it in a gold dinar for Africa. But the minute he started doing that, I think they just told him he either gets the lead or the gold. Now, I think he was always on the elite side, and basically
you
they
mean
put
they would have killed him.
Probably. Because I think the year or two before he was in Paris hanging around, he was the best friend. Everything all was forgiven, and then all of a sudden they turned the whole country upside down and destroyed it. But the point is, he gave the impression, or maybe he really did look like he was on the people's side, giving them all a better piece of the pie. And then he was taken away from the people. And I think it was just sort of a lesson for the people and future populists not to tamper with anything, not to give the people too much. Now, for instance, we had a guy here in Canada called Jack Layton. He started off in my city, actually, as a counselor. He rose all the way to the top. It looked like he had a chance to become prime minister. And in the British Commonwealth countries, prime minister is more powerful than any president in terms of concentration of power. It's an absolute power. It's a dictatorship. There's no doubt about it. All the people that get elected are immediately silenced and told that you don't get to say anything. Everything happens to the prime minister. Everything. And the point is, it looked like he had a chance to come up the middle and win. And all of a sudden, he got really ill. He got the fast-acting cancer, the pancreatic cancer. And I have a post on that on fakeologist.com. And he had the similar story arch as Steve Jobs, whereas he started to become super thin, super gaunt, and next thing you know it, he died. And then, of course, his party didn't even come close in the next election, because the party really was him. He was a populist leader. And in Canada, at least, they didn't even get a chance to see him in action. And the idea would be, of course, that he was going to maybe make a difference, share more of the wealth, give more to the bottom, that kind of thing. But I think it's a twofold, if it's not a real, if it didn't occur as we were told, it's a two-pronged approach. One, it's to show future populist leaders, if there are any real ones that bubble up, that don't try this, your health is in danger. And number two, it's to tell the people they just can't really have a better piece of the pie. And I really think that's how Kennedy is always portrayed as the best president. He was going to end the war. He was going to change so many things for what the people wanted. And then he was just taken away halfway through. But I really think that these characters play roles, and when they're shown that these power positions are really, they don't have any real power in the sense that there are back controllers, people that really control the office,
right,
through every lever you can imagine, just lobbying and money and power That's my thesis anyway on populist world leaders. So Obama came in as populist, but he was immediately squelched in the sense that, what has he done? What can you name? Really, has he done anything to better the people?
Obamacare, Obama phones are great.
Yeah, but in the end, that all that was he sort of forced the American people to buy substandard insurance, and
sure.
we have that law here. We have that law here for automotive insurance. You must buy insurance. Whereas I remember when I started driving, there's lots of people that didn't have insurance, and I had to pay for uninsured motorists. So if I got hit by someone who didn't have insurance, my insurance would cover it. And then people just said, "Oh, that's not fair." So they made it a law to make people buy insurance. So that's to me what Obamacare is.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing.
But
getting back to JFK,
yeah.
So I'm just trying to get up to date with your thoughts on him.
Yeah.
So you'd say that JFK was basically told you either get the lead or you do what we tell you to do, and then he decided to get out, and they faked his death.
I think so.
He's still alive somewhere.
I would think so. I really do. I think, of course, he was there in Dallas. I think they could have switched the car maybe on the last corner, wherever he came out between buildings. There's a lot of ways to fake these things. There could have been sound effects. Of course, there could have been the last stretch could have been somewhat blocked off in the sense that only select people were allowed to stand around, perhaps. And so anyone from a distance would not be able to see easily a switcheroo of maybe some of the people, the key players, including him. Or he was really in the vehicle and he just, there's some pop, 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 and he ducked down, really. And the only eyewitness to that would be that Zapruder film that they had 7 years to fabricate.
Yeah.
And they could have done take two, take three, take 500 anywhere.
Exactly.
They could have done it anywhere. Because as you say, the background was different. It was time shifted. That could have been done deliberately, or it could have been the limitations of the day. I don't know. Don't know. So I just think that 50 years later, with Fetzer, the world's most unsuccessful investigation into JFK hasn't got anywhere. You're just going in circles. And I think that in the end is how 9/11 is going to finish off. It's I'm done my investigation, and I think everyone else...
I think it's already there, Abe. I think,
oh, yeah. You know, yeah, it's done.
So with regards to JFK versus Donald Trump, do you think that he's going to get the same sort of choices offered to him?
I think he already knows how the game is played. I think the people at the highest level already know the game they're playing. I think he knows the script. Okay. I think he got the script already. And it would be fun to know the outcome of the script. But I think he has the script already. I think that... And I'm not the only one that says this. The presidents are selected. They're not elected. So the outcome is predetermined. Now, we can make our bets now if we want, just like we can bet on the next Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What does it matter? It doesn't affect us really in the end, but it's very entertaining. It's exciting. There's lots of drama. In the meantime, I think real laws are passed to limit our freedoms and to take away the money they give us. And that's happening in the background, and there's almost nobody talking about it because almost nobody, there's no Fifth Estate, the media, looking out for us to report for us.
And if there was, they would never listen anyway, I don't think.
I don't go down to check the record of what laws are passed, and I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you don't know anyone who does. We would presumably rely on a media to report what's exactly being passed. But other than that, you just have to wait till one day you get a flyer saying this is the law and you have to obey it.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I keep up with is the end of the year, somebody always, I don't know who it is now, it's probably this guy Doug Casey that I've on his email list, but he tells you how many pages were added to the Federal Register.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And it's always an enormous figure. It's just these people don't even read the laws they pass anyway. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, how could they?
But you know, I don't think with Trump personally, I don't think it makes any difference. It's all a fantasy anyway. It wouldn't matter if he gets elected. It wouldn't make any difference which one of these clowns gets elected. It makes absolutely no difference.
No. And in the United States, you guys created a system of gridlock anyway, where one branch of the government can cancel the other branch immediately.
That was the myth. That's the myth.
Yeah.
That's what you get taught in civics in school. But it's largely a myth. To my mind, anyway, it's not a. They like to tell you that you got this wonderful system where you can cancel each other out in the various branches of the government. But it's not true. It's a very cleverly constructed myth, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. Well, if you just look at the two systems between the British parliamentary system and the United States system, American system, it's our method of passing legislation is far more efficient, and it's far more super concentrated, and it's impossible. Once they get their mind to doing something, you can't stop it. There's just no way.
Whereas mean the Canadian and the British?
The British system, yeah. If you compare the two, you cannot stop a law. Where... You say it's a myth in the U.S., but from my perspective, it seems like just about anything gets vetoed and canceled and watered down, and in the end, it almost barely goes through, if ever. So I see a big difference, but you say on your side it's an illusion, which maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's all pretty much an illusion. But there again, you know my political philosophy. I'm way out of the ballpark for most people as far as political philosophy goes anyway. So to me, I'm just to everybody else, I'm just a highly cynical person who doesn't believe that the government works in any way in the way that people imagine it to. I don't even think it makes any difference if the laws get passed. It doesn't make a freaking bit of difference. The law, they might work for a while, but everybody just finds a way around them. And so then they're going to pass more laws, and then somebody finds a way around that. It's just a never-ending process. Congress is a law manufacturing factory. That's what it does. It mass-produces laws. That's its job. And it gets revenues for doing that. And the laws might work for a while, but nobody ever notices the fact that after a while, the laws no longer work. You know, all of these grandiose schemes of a Donald Trump or a Mark Rubio or a Hillary Clinton or a Bernie Sanders, it's all freaking bullshit. None of it's going to work, even if any one of them gets elected. It was the same with Obama. It doesn't really make... So I just laugh at the whole spectacle. To me, it's just a grand...
illusion.
...circus act.
Yeah.
And you can just sit back and laugh at the... I get more pleasure out of reading H.L. Mencken's commentaries on politicians from his own time period, which is the 1900s through the 1930s.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just right on the money about all of this. It's incredible how someone like that actually even got published. I mean, it's amazing to me that someone with that intelligence and that sharp an eye could be that blunt in nationally distributed newspapers.
Obviously they approved of it. They wanted it released. Maybe they consider it a safety valve.
Yeah,
where
maybe
they allow one guy to blow off steam.
Mine now, he'd be locked up now. He'd be put in prison and being a terrorist.
Or maybe there are other people that release truths or half truths today. In the form of columnists, I don't know, but
yeah, could be. I haven't come across any, but maybe they're out there somewhere. If someone knows, email me at onebornfree@yahoo.com. I'd be happy to read any of these people. You don't know. The closest you get to it is someone like Paul Craig Roberts.
I
consider mainstream, really.
But he's promoted by Alex Jones, is he not?
I believe so. Yeah, that's another problem with him. He says some good things. Fetz is going nuts because Roberts mentioned Fetzer by name in one of his recent posts. He did a post, Are Americans Living in a Fake Reality or something? And he goes on to Fetzer's research of Sandy Hook, which I haven't actually seen, but so I don't know exactly what Fetzer said, but Jim Fetzer is... So I'm beating his chest.
I just sent you a little script, if you don't mind, before I forget. I always forget to ask my guests if they could record a little... record a little bumper for my channel. This is obviously not related to what you just said.
When should we do that?
Well, you can do it now, if you would like. Just read that for me and...
Hang on. It disappeared. It came up.
Yeah, press the little chat button there.
Chat button. Where's the hell is the chat button on this?
Yeah, I know. This Skype is just a nuisance.
I can't even find chat on it. There's no chat button I'm finding.
It's a little bubble, the text bubble on the right. You know, you got all those little icons, the mute, the plus, the hang up, the sound quality, and then there should be a little... I am, or a little bubble, text bubble. If you click that bubble, it'll bring up your chat.
Maybe that's it. All right. Okay, got it. All right.
All right. Go ahead.
Hi, this is OBF, and you are listening to the wonderful Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Oh, that was perfect. One take. Thank you. We could have done that live on 9/11 and fooled everybody.
That's right.
Well, the thing that's taken over the internet, I don't know if you want to comment on it, in the last year has been this whole flat earth discussion. And they have you been following it at all?
Yeah, I've seen the various debates. Is it another psyop to discredit people like Simon? That's the sort of basic thing that I've seen. And I was actually, I got on somebody's email list. What was it? I got sent all these freaking emails from someone who's totally flat earth. So I just send them all to spam now. But
oh, really?
Yeah, I was getting them. And then someone would you get about, it's such a big email list that I was automatically added to it. And so he'd write a thing about the flat earth, and then he'd get like 50 replies, which would also show up in my inbox. So I've had to sort of convert them all to spam messages. So I filtered them all out now. But Tim somebody just drove me crazy.
Oh, yes. It's not me, Tim. Yeah, there's a guy named Treasure Map Tim. Yeah.
That's it, Treasure Map Tim, yeah. So I just got fed up with that whole thing. And luckily now they all go to my spam. But so I'm well aware.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah. And people need to be more respectful with their emails. And I asked them many times to take me off, for sure. I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah. By the way, I have an email list server, which is a server, which means I don't share the emails like that guy does. And if you want to subscribe, I don't really have too much on the go right now, but it's an old-fashioned server which started off before social media and Twitter and all these. It's called, if you send me an email to list-subscribe@fakeologist.com, you can join in to, you can send anything once you're on the server list into the email system. So OBF, if you want, you can join that list, and then if you want to send your emails to my group, you can automatically. So that's list-subscribe@fakeologist.com to join in. And
okay,
that's
so
a
I
much
have to
more.
Go to your website to do
no,
that, right?
No, you don't. You can just send an email from any email program, Gmail, anywhere.
Okay.
So list-subscribe@fakeologist.com. Send an email to that address. That's the old way before web pages that people used to really communicate. And
I remember, yes.
Yeah, that way you could send an email to the group, and you don't get to know the other group members, I don't think. But the point is,
it's all BCC, it's all blind carbon copy.
Yeah, but it's just a way, you'll get emails from the group, and you can reduce them down to digest, so you get them once a week or once a day. I haven't really played too much with it, but anyone who, you know, you have the similar bent to me, so if you want to send the odd email now and then, highlighting a post and whatnot of yours, so you can send it to the group as well. That would be an appropriate place for that.
Okay.
So just join in, anyone else, list-subscribe@fakeologist.com. Yeah, so you were getting the flat earth information from that guy.
Yeah, so apart from that, I haven't really thought to, I guess I've mostly dismissed it now. My initial thought about it was maybe it's true, I'm not sure. Ultimately, I've come out and decided that it's not really important to me. As long as the current model works for me, which is the spherical model, but as long as that basically makes sense to me, I don't really have the time, and I don't want to devote the mental effort into getting too much into that particular issue. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe it is a flat earth, but I'm sort of, I guess I'd be 99% assuming that it is an actual sphere, and I don't really have the time to investigate. I guess I'm not really interested. If I was an astronaut, I mean, we know that astronauts are probably mythical anyway. If there was such a thing as a genuine astronaut who was going to fly off to another part of the universe, then I would think that it would be very important to have a very firm idea of the nature of the universe and the planets around us and everything. But because I'm not an astronaut, I don't feel any real need to understand it that well. So it's not something that really interests me that much. I can't see how it affects my personal life. Does that make any sense?
It does, and I've heard that many times. My interest, if you're interested, and even if you're not interested, I'll tell you anyway, but is that I'm interested in the deception aspect of it. Now, if we're told that we shouldn't believe our eyes, and this is from my very limited position on Earth, I'm only 6 feet above the Earth most of the time.
Right.
From my limited position, everything is flat. Now, I'm interested in the fact, I'd like to know where the genesis came from of this whole baller theory, the solar system theory. I like to know who started it, how it came, because I am now convinced that humans are very easily convinced of an idea with the media or whatever media is available at the time in history going backwards. So now that you and I and everyone else that is a fakeologist reader or believer anyway realizes how easy it is to manipulate people into an idea and make it stick, I don't see any reason really why telling someone that you should not believe your eyes, that when you look across the lake it's perfectly flat, and in fact you are on a ball spinning at 1,100 occult miles per hour at the equator, which is rotating at 66.6 thousand miles an hour, which of course is only meaningful if you're a Christian or Bible believer. Why would that? How would you even measure some of these numbers down to the decimal point? So, because I'm questioning everything that I'm told, to me it's only natural I'm going to question this story. Now, this one is at least 500 years old. This is an oldie. So just because it's an oldie doesn't make it a goodie in my mind.
You mean the flat Earth is only 500 years old, or the spherical?
Well, no, I think the Copernican theory is about 500 years old, and you look into who Copernicus was and some of the history. I believe that is basically saying that the Earth is not the center of the universe. In fact, it is only a small player, and it rotates around the sun.
Right.
And that's what fascinates me with regards to this whole thing. Now, the fact that they're tying it in with NASA, because it's easy to prove that NASA is faking most or everything they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they're hanging their hook on that. They're hanging their hat on that hook, because that is how you get people interested like you and me, because we've been saying that. Simon said that and proved it for a long time. So this is how they draw us in. So if it's a psyop, I'm happy to take that under consideration. Or if it's not a psyop, I'm also entertaining that. Or if it's a psyop in the sense that the Earth is not a ball, but it's something else, and they're not willing to disclose it, and they're willing to obscure it with this whole campaign just to say it's flat, it's flat, it's flat, then I'm also very interested. So there's at least three different directions we could go with this. Now, the fact that they're pushing it day in and day out, there are personalities that do talk shows that are pushing it every single day. Where do they get the time? We know how much effort it takes to create a blog post, and of course we've discussed your output, and it's tailed off over the year.
My dwindling output, yeah.
And same with mine. My output's dwindled because you and I are both convinced. We've convinced ourselves, at least, maybe nobody else, that we know what happened on 9/11. We know the trick, and nobody else wants to listen. That's fine, but therefore we retire to our normal everyday programming. But these people don't give up. Why? That's what
it's
I want to know.
It's only been a year, though, Ed. It's only been a year, right? They've been going strong for a year. Is that correct?
I would say a year, yeah. About February of last year, I got Flat Earth Clues dropped in the chat one day, and I looked into it. I thought it was real good. And the guy left his phone number at the end of the video, so I just called it. I didn't think anyone would answer. He answered, and next thing you know, I did a little quick interview with the guy. And then I'm accused of promoting him, when really I just wanted to ask him a few questions and say that I thought it was really well done. That's all I really wanted to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole idea is interesting, but I just don't have, I haven't investigated enough to be able to make any sort of decision on
yeah.
it. It took me a long, 9/11 took me a long time, and I was thinking about this today, because when I started really getting into 9/11, which was 2007, 2008, this country, the U.S., was in this tremendous recession. It still is, but at that time, all my work completely dropped off, maybe the edge of a flat world, I'm not sure, but it dropped off,
okay.
and I was out of work, and there was only so many hours a day I could spend looking for work, and therefore I spent a lot of time looking at 9/11 and examining Simon's videos and various other videos and what people were saying about it. So I know I spent a lot, hundreds, maybe thousands of hours going over this stuff. And it took me that, it took me a long time to get to the, to what I would call the Simon Shack position. I was not an easy sell. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And, so what I'm saying about the flat earth theory is that I don't have the same amount of time to invest in studying it to really know anything. So I'm a sort of 90% convinced that the world is probably round, but I'm sort of open to suggestion that it's flat, but I really, having said that, I don't really have the time to really investigate it any further. It's an interesting idea. I always like these radical ideas anyway. I think it's great that people think outside the box and start saying things like that and say, well, what if the world is flat? I said, okay, well, that's a bit really, you know, and go along with it and see how far down the road I can follow that idea. But I haven't reached any firm conclusions on it. Some people obviously have.
Well, I don't have a conclusion either, other than the fact that these are some of the only people that are talking about 9/11 and NASA right now. They do, I think most of them do a really great job just spending hours breaking down the NASA video. And as we know, NASA is constantly putting material out on an hourly basis, so they're open to scrutiny. There's no one putting out new 9/11 material from the official sources, so there's really nothing to analyze new or talk about. Therefore, that whole research, I think, stagnates. We just end up talking about the same things over and over again. That's really why no one's talking about it, I think. And it's only 9/11 is just best left as a reference tool to go through all the different methodologies to create the deception and then apply them to smaller versions that occur all the time, at least in the United States media and to a lesser extent here in Canada. But as far as the space fakery, that's ongoing. That's every day there's a budget and it's pumping out really fake material.
But you don't need a flat earth theory to show that that stuff is fake. I mean, you just
yes, I know that's true. Well, they've attached the two things together, and that's why I think Simon's theory of the discredit by association should be researched there's you can't deny that. You cannot deny that whatsoever. So that's why I post the videos mainly because it's just fresh material out there, and there's some pretty. I think they're pretty intelligent people talking about it, and I'm always looking for deception clues from these people. Yeah. Now, are they deceivers or are they deceived? I don't know. I'm having a tough time. That's why I posted on the blog and I opened it up for everyone's comment. From a fakeologist's point of view.
Yeah.
Now, I've lost quite a few people from the blog and gained a lot of people because of this research. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. I did the same thing with, I have a small investment advisory service.
Yeah.
And when I went public with those people, with those clients that, about my 9/11 views, I lost all of my clients because I had a choice. I had a choice to either be honest with people or to sort of mask my views about it. And I decided to be honest, and it cost me dearly. So what I'm saying is the same thing. You're going to, you know, if you've got to go with what feels right for you. And so there's nothing wrong with posting. People mm-hmm. can't separate. If you post something out of interest, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily even supporting what they say. You're just putting it out there saying, well, this is an interesting idea.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, you're going to get people, oh, he's now, he's a flat earther or he's a whatever. You know, it's, it all gets a pretty childish and tedious to me. It's, but that's what people do. I guess you've just got to be prepared for the childishness and the tediousness and carry on regardless. I mean,
well, people think I've lost. Yeah, the people that some followers, not a lot. Some followers think I've lost my mind for talking about it. But again, there's not a lot of 9/11 material to investigate right now. But the steady stream of NASA material comes out, and the people that are talking about it always attach this flat Earth to it, which I think I have a problem with. But I also I'm still listening to. I think intelligent people discuss the whole topic of how to investigate this anyway, because that is an interesting thing. How do you start measuring things that you see in the sky? The whole cosmology, it's a pretty, I would say, complex task, at least for my simple mind, to try and figure out, are we rotating around the sun or is it rotating around us? And I think that a lot of the so-called proof works both ways. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It.
Well,
Do
you need to know for sure? Is it absolutely essential to your existence to know?
Of course not. I don't even need to know about 9/11 or all the latest psyops. But it's just an exercise for the mind.
Yeah.
And somebody must know. There's a lot of things that are known. Aeronautically, how far up we can go? What do we see when we're so far up? How far up can we go? Why aren't there cameras high up? Why can't independent people somehow get verification of what we see from way up high? These are really valid questions because I think it's important to know the nature of where we live. And if we have nothing else to do, why can't we explore and know the nature of where we are? Because I don't think we know very much, or at least the people on the ground, we really don't know very much about where we are, where we live. We don't know very much about our history.
I agree.
We don't know anything about our reality. We certainly don't know anything about our future. We know very little.
Well, we can try to know, but it doesn't mean that we end up knowing absolutely. It's like, you know, the quest for new knowledge is always, it's an inbuilt curiosity of humans. You're always going to try and understand the universe around you. But you're always limited in any period of time. You're limited. Knowledge is finite. So there might be some, you might reach a conclusion based on all current knowledge, but then 10 years down the road, some new fact emerges that was not even known at the time you made your conclusions, that skews all of your previous conclusions, and you have to recalibrate everything and reassess everything.
Exactly. For instance, we didn't know that you could fake history on a current basis. I did not know you could do that.
Right.
Therefore, now that I accept that, now I have to review history and take it for what it is, most likely fabricated.
Yeah.
Because I did not know that vast numbers of people could be fooled without them saying anything, speaking up, without dissenters getting a voice. I didn't realize how easy it is to quell dissent, to silence dissent, to ignore dissent. I understood it from the Soviet Union basis. I did not understand it from our so-called open society. Now I know.
It's the same deal as the Soviet Union.
It's worse. It's worse because we don't even know it's happening to us. At least they knew.
Yeah, we got a better... The propaganda machine is a little bit more sophisticated here, so it looks a little more real life, whereas the Soviets were all... Yeah, they were all laughing at the lies told to them, apparently. Isn't that right?
Or getting drunk because they knew they couldn't do anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just drink it away. Well, is there any other topic you wanted to bring up on this fine March 13th, 2016 date, talking with OBF?
The only thing that came up with, you talked about earlier, some guy posting a YouTube video where you thought he sort of went back, you thought he was on the same wavelength as you and I, and then he started saying, well, if they wanted to, why would they fake any of it? They could do the whole thing in real time. They could actually fly planes into buildings, et cetera, et cetera. And I've had similar questions on that forum I told you about, on Liberty HQ, in the thread there I've got. And the question was, I'd actually posted a video which is a smoke analysis, and it shows that the smoke patterns are coming out of WTC-1 before flights 175 hits WTC-2. The smoke patterns are all cloned. It's quite clearly, very easy to see. And so this guy, he says, well, first of all, how do you know that video hasn't been messed with? And I said, well, the only reason I know is because it's also included in other CBS footage, which is you can just access on the archives. You can see it for yourself. So he said, okay. Well, his next question was, I don't see why they would have to fake everything. It is a legitimate question. It's a sort of variation on the same, this guy that posted the video that you were talking about. It's the same idea. He said, well, you know, they could do it for real. They don't need to fake it all. And what I said to him was, and you might be able to say the same thing to people who react the same way to you, is the question of whether they can do it or how, what actually happened on 9/11, if they faked all the videos, is irrelevant to the issue of whether they are fake enough. In order to, if you want to establish or understand if they're fake, first of all, you have to learn about what the signs for video fakery are. And then you have to look at the footage. If you think those signs, those sort of signs are valid, such as layering, the exposure of layers or whatever, or pixelation or whatever, if you think those are valid signs of video fakery, then examine the relevant footage that you're looking at, you know, closely and see. I mean, and make a decision on that. But don't cloud your mind with questions about why would they fake it all, or what really happened. If the tower collapse is a fake, like you're claiming, what actually happened on 9/11? And I say, well, it's irrelevant for right now. You have to learn how to look at the videos to see the clues to that fakery. And then, I guess if you don't see those clues, then that's a whole different ballgame. But you've got the only way to start doing it is to clear your mind of these issues that aren't really relevant. They're only relevant to ask, if you come to the conclusion that they're fake videos, then you might say, well, hell, they're all fake, so what really happened on 9/11? There was no planes and the towers didn't collapse like on the times we're told. What else, you know? And then you might say, well, Simon's got this great theory that they were just demolished off camera by standard demolition technology, explosives.
That's right.
But to ask that question initially, which is what Fessor was trying to do with me, it's putting up like a smokescreen. It's like an unnecessary question. The question is, are the videos, are they or are they not fake? Do they or do they not display signs of forgery and fakery? And they, as you and I know, they do. But if you start asking that question, then they try and sidetrack you, or you have to go into this long explanation of what you think might or might not have happened on 9/11. And it's completely irrelevant to the issue of whether the videos are, in fact, real or fake. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, you might want to say that, to point that out to you. To this guy who made this video, saying, you know, it may be a good question, but it's irrelevant to the fact of whether they did or did not construct fake videos on 9/11.
Yeah, well, he was just questioning the, I think, the level of deception and the level of fakery. And my simple explanation is, going back to the beginning of this call, we were just discussing how hard it is to make a movie, how hard it is to make a video. You can never get it on the first take.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to make a very shocking presentation, you're not going to leave it to chance. You have to make it perfectly, which means you have to get it ready far in advance, like any movie. And, of course, if you watch some of the award shows like the Oscars, they do tell you that some of the most important people in the movie-making business are the editors and the sound, the people that actually take the footage, the raw footage, and splice it together.
Yeah.
Because I always take lots of pictures with my camera of things I think are interesting. And I sometimes send all of them around to people I know. And I always get the email back, would you stop sending the whole pile of pictures? Just send me the best ones. Mm-hmm. In other words, you could take...
Edit it down.
Yeah, edit it down. They don't want to see all the takes. They don't want to see every variation of the shot. Just send them one or two. And same with a movie. They shoot hours and hours and hours to boil it down to 90 minutes or 102 minutes, as is in the case of the 9/11 movie. It's got to be all the best stuff. Otherwise, you're just watching probably a lot of burning buildings, or you would be seeing footage of a lot of blue sky. That doesn't make an impact.
Yeah.
It's not interesting. And how would you time it? You couldn't time any of it. You know, the average plane is almost, the on-time performance of planes is horrible. They're late all the time. They're late taking off.
For real.
Yeah.
If they'd have really done it for real, what chance was there that a camera would even capture it, you know, live on all five networks?
You go downtown to any major city, like Toronto. Toronto's full of big towers, concrete canyons, I call them. Go down downtown Manhattan tomorrow morning, or Tuesday morning even. Go at 8:50 in the morning. Go take a poll of all the people. Well, now it's a little different with camera phones, but how many people are walking around with video cameras or any cameras?
Yeah, exactly.
And holding them and filming? How many people are actually out on the street going into office towers at 8:50? And that can answer a lot of the questions about the veracity of the eyewitnesses, of those who might have taken footage on 9/11 that morning. And that most people are not doing any of those types of things at that time. They're just they're holding their coffee, they're holding their laptop, they're running.
Well, they weren't even available then, were they? Really, nobody was walking around with video cameras in 2001, as far apart from the pros maybe.
But, and they created some really great backstories with the so-called Naudé brothers, where they were allegedly filming something about firefighter. I mean, this stuff is just too staged, it's too obvious to the average skeptic like you and myself. Well, we're not the average skeptic, but...
Yeah, we're a little more than that, aren't we?
Now, we'll close it out tonight. I think we've been going for an hour and a half. I see in the news that Keith Emerson...
I'd just like to ask you a question, but carry on.
Go ahead.
One more question for you.
Sure.
Okay, this is out of interest, and it's only emerged because of our conversation.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, as you say, you see the interest in 9/11 tailing off. Are you trying to move your radio show in a different direction, maybe, and concentrate, say, more on NASA or stuff
like
that?
Well, I'm not really moving it in any direction at all. It's a good question, but I just haven't been talking to too many people, to be honest with you. I've just been doing a lot of audio chat commentary, which is just sort of off the cuff in the daytime on not as good an audio format when I'm out and about at work. Just chit chats about this and that, whatever the latest thing is on the go. It's been very informal. I haven't really sat down with too many people like yourself at all in the last year or two. It's been I don't really have a direction in mind. That's a great thing about not being a business out of it. It's just, it's more of a hobby.
You can do what you like, yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a casual thing. But yeah, the 9/11 stuff only comes up in the context of these flat earthers that are, they're building a radio network to talk about this stuff. I can't keep up with it anymore. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So whether you are interested in it or not, they're putting the information out there to be consumed. And anyone that's spending that kind of time and effort is trying to get attention, and I'm just trying to figure it out. So that's my latest, what is going on with this? Is the information valid? Is it not valid? If someone was talking about 9/11, I'd probably pay attention to that. But the very few people that are from that community, and they're hooked on Judy Wood. And every now and then I throw a link to them if they're interested or genuine to say, look, we've already been through Judy Wood and it's pretty clear that she's not on the right track. And that's about it. So, yeah, I don't have a great direction in mind. And if I get people that like you that like to talk about it still, that's great.
Yeah, I it's good to talk. Like I say, I hadn't talked with anybody who agreed with me, but it's got to be a couple of years who's basically on the same page. I mean, I think I've probably exchanged a couple of emails with yourself, Simon, and Hoy, I think, but very, very short, nothing conversational like this. And so it's good to sort of catch up and just say hi and see if we're still on the same page.
I enjoy it. Yeah, I met Hoy actually this summer. And
oh, really?
He is a real person.
He's a real person.
He's a real person. He talks just like he writes. He's very smart. And he's a struggling artist, I believe. And
that's another thing. The very smart thing is very. This is the thing. September Clues. If you look at a cross-section of the sort of people who see it and analyze it and are able to understand what's being said and what's being proposed in it, and then go on to the actual website itself, these people are very, very intelligent and very observant. And that right there is the problem. You're not going to spread word of this stuff to the average Joe Sixpack or anything like that. These people, I mean, I get blown away. Some of these guys, I read September Clues site every day, and the posts in there, I mean, these people are way ahead of me in intelligence and knowledge
some of
about
them.
Different
Not
things.
All of them. Some of them.
Appreciate that. But that's the sort of cross-section. That's the sort of people who come into, join that site. And so there's like a whole marketing issue there. It reaches, naturally, Simon's work reaches a certain type of personality, a certain type of intellectual level. And it's not going to reach too far outside of that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, I agree. It's that you.
I mean, you're intelligent. You're very well spoken.
Thank you. You too.
You can put a sentence together. You can think. You can consider. You know, these are sort of mental abilities that you and I've always taken for granted. But the more I look around, people have different mental abilities, and they just don't think the same way. And so it's a limited number of people in the world who are able to assimilate the sort of information that Simon and related people put out there. And it's unfortunate, but I guess it's inevitable, really. The only way is that around it is if you really want to if you're trying to wake people up, I think is you have to try to dumb the message down somewhat.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that myself. But
you have to send the message the same way the people that are psyoping us do. They know how to send the message.
Yeah, they certainly do, don't they?
You have to just copy them. Why would you try and reinvent the wheel? You have to really do what they're doing, and I don't have the resources. I can't psychic drive messages. Yeah, you and I are similar. You started a blog. You've got your best thoughts on the blog. And I think you realize why waste your best thoughts on other people's blogs and comments, because they could just blow them away and you spent all that time. So you were smart enough to create your own blog. You've done your own audio. You went up against the big Fetzer, which I didn't even want to do. You did it many times. That was really, really good of you. I thought you came across really well. So yeah, you've done more than the average person would even think to do. And you've done it fairly successfully. But yeah, I think...
thank you.
Yeah, we're few and far between. And, you know, you're just realizing we're coming across the same barriers as the people that are trying to sell us the fake stories come across. You got to create a big event. You got to blow it up real good. And you got to follow it up with the official story and psychic drive it in every media possible. And keep saying it over and over again. Get the history books all printed up. That's what you got to do. Now, you and I can't do that.
So we're
just doing our best, and
you're doing a great job. So I think your radio show needs to keep going. I don't know, maybe you have to change subjects slightly and do NASA or whatever you feel. Maybe it's even flat Earth. I don't know.
I don't either. I just like talking to regular people like you that seem trustworthy, and I think that's enough. I don't have to just put out massive volume. If we can get people that are like-minded and are not too shady, then that's good enough. I don't think talking to Judy Wood is going to do me any good. It's not going to do the listeners any good, because I think we already have a good idea where she comes from, and it's just not going to help.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put out too much noise. I mean, just my thoughts are probably noise to most people, but at least I get a chance to make a record of it.
The only way you can placate someone like that, and I've done, you had a John Friend interview.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
I did.
And then you reposted links to a couple of shows I did with him.
Yes. Okay.
And I listened to them. I hadn't listened to them since I did them, and I think it's the second one. At the end of it, I don't know whether people like Simon and Hoyer would actually approve, or maybe even yourself approve of what I said. But at the end, I said, I'd had problems with Don Fox and even John Friend to a degree outside of 9/11. But what I said was, look, we all three of us agree that it was an inside job, right? Why can't we just leave it at that? So even, with a Judy Wood or a Jim Fetzer supporter or Pilots for Truth or 9/11 Truth or whatever, you could always go bigger picture with them. So if, we can agree to disagree. What do we agree on? We agree it was an inside job, okay? And just leave it at that, and not have to get into any heated arguments about why we believe it was all fake footage versus they believe it was a nuclear demolition or some sort of space weapon technology or whatever they believe. I mean, those sort of things are important to us, but they... for someone who's already committed to believing that the video footage and the photographs are genuine, there's no way in hell to argue with those. You might as well say, okay, look, we agree it was an inside job. Let's just close it and leave it at that, and agree to disagree on the rest of the details. And I don't know, maybe that'll work.
Yeah, well,
a lot of people, do you honestly... Would you disagree with that, honestly? I mean, tell me.
I think we have a lot more in common. We're such a small group. Now, does Don... You see, the problem is they salt it with so many things that are equally as troubling, like Don Fox with his nukes. If anyone is going to say it's an inside job, and then listen to him go on about secret technologies where we could blow up the whole world out of a suitcase, I don't think that's going to help anyone. They're going to be so disturbed by that. Just like I was disturbed with Judy Wood when she said that there was a directed energy weapon that somehow was tied in with the Tesla quote that this power could have the power to cut the world in half. Now, that is just really disturbing talk to me.
I'm not saying you should agree with their whole scenario.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, if you cut out all of that on one of these persons, you can at least say we agree. Oh, okay, we disagree on all this stuff, but we at least agree it was an inside job, right? You know.
Yeah. But the problem is they don't stop at that. They got to get in all their saltiness, and that really wrecks the message, I think. But okay, we can. Okay, it's always where do we go from here, though? Okay, we all agree that it wasn't as portrayed. The official story is wrong. Okay, right. But where do we go from here with that knowledge and teaming up with these guys that have so many wrong ideas or just are trying to spread so much more fear?
The problem is that they say the same thing about us. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say exactly the same thing about you and me or Simon, you know, definitely Simon Schacht,
because
he's much more well-known than I am. They're going to say, you know, well, he's got this crackpot idea about all of the videos being faked. And, so it rubs both ways.
Well, I'd rather believe that than believe that there's secret technology that can wipe out mankind.
Well, sure. Absolutely. I agree 100%. But you've got to try and find. It depends what you want to do. I'm not a movement joiner. I don't believe in movements. But if people are looking for a valid 9/11 movement that's going to do something or other, some sort of political action or whatever, or general awakening idea, then you're going to have to compromise your ideas a little bit and say, well, okay, what can we agree on? And if you just say, well, we all agree it was an inside job and we'll all shut up about the rest of what we think happened and didn't happen and just go on from there with that general idea and statement as mission statement or whatever you want to call it, and then because you'll get more people to join under that general statement than you would saying, well, I think all the videos are fake. I mean, you and I both know how that sort of idea is just off the charts for most of these
people,
even within the 9/11 movement. It's just we're just crazy according to them for thinking that way. And I don't think that's going to change. You might make a couple of people who come over to Simon's camp, but I think the vast majority is just going to be stuck in there. It was all done with mini nukes or secret energy weapons or whatever, and they're never going to move from that position.
I agree. I don't know if it's worth even trying to move these people, and new people are not even paying any attention.
Yeah.
Really, that's the thing. It's just, it seems like people have moved on.
Maybe it's time for another major 9/11 type event. I've seen people saying that.
Oh, yeah. This is a big year for Trump and Obama, and the latest, I see a prediction for Obama simulated assassination this year on May 23rd by Zach Hubbard, and then that'll bring in President Biden, and then they'll cancel the election. You know, all these predictions are pretty wild, and probably nothing will happen, and Hillary will get in. But again, what does it matter in the end? As Hillary would say, what does it really matter? Nothing is really going to change. It's just more of the same.
Yeah, yes. They're all going to be, they're just fake figureheads for, you know, the people pulling the levers.
In the end, we're moving towards a one world economy. It's just, it's certainly from a business or corporate standpoint, it's an efficient model. If you can just work without borders, it's just an economy of scale thing, really, if you want to look at it. And it just leaves things open much more to a worldwide system of abuse. And that's, I guess, the main reason why one should oppose it, is just when you allow power to concentrate with just a very few group of people, it can lead to, I think, some pretty bad things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I noticed there's one other guy that who has come on the scene, or at least my scene, who reminds me of you a little bit. His name is, on YouTube, is How I See It. And I notice on your website, you have an eye patch. And this guy on YouTube, How I See It, has an eye patch too. I don't know if you've looked at him, but looked at his...
No, I'll, let me see if I can...
Yeah, I'll send you a link. He just as you were talking, he sent a link where he's...
Is he listening?
Hi, this is How I See It.
There he is.
Let's take a look at some headlines involving Iran and 9/11, starting in...
It's funny because he just sent an email, just posted a YouTube right now. He's not listening. He doesn't listen to me.
Oh, okay.
And it's talking about 9/11.
2004, July. 9/11 Commission finds ties between Al-Qaeda
and I'll send you the
Iran.
Link in the Skype chat.
Is How I See It all one word or is it three words?
In the fall of 2004.
How I See It. Look in your Skype chat there.
Says, Iran's link to Al-Qaeda.
I sent you the link.
The 9/11 Commission's evidence. The 9/11 Commission. Before we go any further,
you can hear him talking.
Two of the 9/11 commissioners have to say about the commission.
The reason why I brought him up is...
So there are all kinds of reasons. We thought we were set up to fail. We got started late. We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody. That we would point the finger.
Incidentally, he's playing a YouTube with Lee Hamilton, who was on the 9/11 Commission. He's being interviewed on the Canadian Broadcast Corporation News, CBC, by Evan Solomon, who was involved in one of our bigger media hoaxes October of 2 years ago, where they alleged that someone tried to storm our parliament with a gun. All these people keep resurfacing. It's fantastic, the economy of characters that they use to perpetrate these hoaxes. It's amazing. And this is just a random thing that I just clicked on this link, and How I See It, who looks a little similar to you with the eye patch, is on
he's copying me.
Yeah, you're famous.
Infringement of copyright. I'm on the YouTube site. I couldn't use because I don't want to use this on the main computer. I don't want to use the link you sent me. So I'm on YouTube on my own computer.
Yeah.
And I'm just was going to put in the YouTube search How I See It in as all one word.
That's right.
Is that what that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And why we're talking about this?
I got it. Okay, I saw it now.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's got. Okay.
See, this guy's doing videos, which is great, and he gets quite a few views, which is great, but he's not on board with the September Clues version of 9/11. He'd be a good guy to help talk to and see if we can sway him our way, for sure. See, this guy would be a useful person because he's still trapped in the fear model where he thinks all these things are really happening, people are dying and whatnot, and the government's killing people, where I don't think that's happening. I don't know if you do. But he would be worth investigating and talking to. And that's the kind of work I've been doing lately. See, I would talk to him on a talk show, and just because he's busy making videos now, and the whole world is stuck into YouTube, which I don't like, but that's just where it is. It's just easy. And he's talking about 9/11, one of the very few people. And for some reason, Iran has been tied into 9/11. This is new, I think, this year. Or it's newly promoted this year.
Okay.
And it's not anything I'm really interested in with this Iran thing, because it's all, it's all nonsense.
It's the same old crap.
It's just some kind of extortion racket. Whether they're even doing it, trying to get money out of Iran, I doubt. But it's just a story. But anyway, let's close it out on a positive note. Well, it's not even that positive. I know you like music, and I just read today in our media that Keith Emerson allegedly killed himself. And he's
really?
From Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I don't know if you like that band.
I like the band before that called The Nice.
Yes, I didn't hear about The Nice. before.
Oh yeah, they did a really great classical interpretations. Who was it? Leonard Bernstein's America. They did a great version of that.
Okay.
That's well worth a listen. Emerson.
Nice. Family. What was America?
Yeah, America by the Nice. It was a single. They also did a lot of, I think they did Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition. There you go. That's it.
I never heard this.
Oh, you listen to this.
I like prog rock. That's what they call progressive rock. Well, I'm not going to listen to the total song there. I posted a link. I'm reading in the comments that it said Leonard Bernstein hated this song.
At the end, they add a kid's voice saying something. I can't remember what they say. It's a young girl saying something like something about America.
Oh, is that right? Well, the one song... Is that right? We'll have to listen through if people want to listen. But the one song I did like... of Emerson, Lake and Palmer was, there's two really great ones, of course, Lucky Man and Still You Turn Me On. What I'm going to do, I'll end the call. I'll play Still You Turn Me On by Emerson, Lake and Palmer and let people listen to that on the way out of the show here, which is another reason why I don't put it on YouTube, because all these songs I think would be struck against me or something. So it's just too much trouble. When you want to play music. But I want to thank you very much for joining me tonight. I think two hours is enough.
I enjoyed it. It was great to talk with you again.
Yeah, and let's keep in touch because, quite frankly, there's not too many people to talk to that are really tuned in, are there?
It's a lonely life.
I know, it's crazy. But
at least you got your family, right, to keep you busy. Right?
Oh, yeah, they do. And thank your friend for letting her use your...
I've got to give him a bottle of champagne.
Thank you for the connection there. I'll probably delete this contact because I don't think she wants to see me or log in. So I'll just delete it after we're done here.
All right.
And we'll stick with the email. Make sure you join up, log into the website, and you can leave your links in my save chat and of course, join the list at list-subscribe@fakeologist.com. And keep in touch that way. It's great.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much.
Talk with you soon, Ed. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Let me tell you something, it just don't mean a thing. You see, it really doesn't matter when you're paid in disguise, like a dark gloss on your eyes. Though your flesh has crystallized,
Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio. We do this show most Saturday nights. We stream our show 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. Our backup site is fakeologist.wordpress.com. We're dedicated to exploring the world of media fakery. Since you're aware, point others to our website and let them discover a reality that they probably never knew existed.
But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me.